Yes, hello once again. This is Max Rat. Welcome to the Max Rat Deconstruction Zone. I did my first show about a week ago. I'm trying to do them even more frequently than this, but just getting started here. And last show was on the State of the Union. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about this Carnival Triumph boat. Metaphor, if you will. If you go check my website and we'll check out my show on the Costa Concordia last year, right around the same time, maybe a little bit a month before, in January last year, there was a long show on it called about the Costa Concordia, and that was another metaphoric creation, what I'm going to call hypnotic suggestion. Okay. In other words, people are just staring at TV. They believe everything they're told, and so the people who craft these theatrical presentations feed into that are made to satisfy agendas are also feeding you hypnotic suggestions. And I know that sounds kind of like, you know, freaky deaky and everything, but take it from a serious point of view. Let's get this show on the road. We're talking about the Carnival Triumph. Here we go.
Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell.
Yeah, and that seems to be the way it's going these days in the media. And let's keep the show going. So we're talking. So what I'm going to tell you is that none of this is really happening now. If you want to argue with me when I say none of it's really happening, obviously they're showing you garbage on television, okay? But if you want to argue with me that maybe they pulled a boat into this port in Mobile, Alabama, that's possible. It's just possible. But then why did they have to pull it in pitch dark when nobody was around? I guess it must be a boat there. I really can't even. I don't even know about that, folks. But that's about. If that's the case, then that's the only thing about this story that's true. Just like I showed you in the Costa Concordia, which is an absolutely ridiculous story. This one is too. Let's just keep it rolling.
But there you are looking live right there. The 893-foot ship crippled by the engine room fire in the Gulf of Mexico has been at sea 4 days and been towed for 4 days.
She limped into harbor in Alabama in the glare of TV networks reeking of raw sewage with more than 4,000 relieved people on board. The Carnival Triumph docked in Mobile at the end of a Gulf of Mexico holiday described as hellish. An engine room fire knocked out power, leaving the ship adrift and passengers to endure appalling conditions. The ordeal didn't end on reaching dry land. It took 4 hours to disembark all passengers, who then faced long coach rides.
You see, so the American people are the boat, okay? The engines are the American economy, which burnt out from fire. Then they get dragged into the port, which I guess the metaphor there is like the Asian Indian in China maybe are the little tugboats dragging our giant economy into the port, and then the people are still made to wait. So in other words, this doesn't get end so quick either, and it's a long drawn out process of bankruptcy. And the Americans are a sewage laden crap shit show, if you pardon my French, being dragged into port with the burnt out engine. This is the story, and then you get to see how it all keeps rolling on that same note, okay? That same note.
She limped into harbor in Alabama in the glare of TV networks reeking of raw sewage with more than 4,000 relieved people on board.
And they get this British guy to, like, with the snazzy accent to, that's Americans gobble that stuff up.
The Carnival Triumph docked in Mobile at the end of a Gulf of Mexico holiday described as hellish. An engine room fire knocked out power, leaving the ship adrift and passengers to endure appalling conditions. The ordeal didn't end on reaching dry land. It took 4 hours to disembark all passengers, who then faced long coach rides.
You try walking through the floors trying to get to the cafeteria, and there's shit and piss on the floors in the cafeteria. And you have to walk through it.
How did you do it?
It was just...
First of all, there's a cafeteria in the boat. Okay, you see, here we go already with these ridiculous interviews with people who are look seemingly degenerate. And there is no... is there a cafeteria in the boat that you've been on, or the cruise ship that you've been on? Because I've never heard of that. I thought they have restaurants and different eating... thematic eating arrangements and things like that. It's not there's no cafeteria, and or she sounds like a Spanish degenerate lady. Nothing against Spanish people, but she had a little bit of a Spanish accent to her. I'm sure I'll get people saying things about that. But she's in the cafeteria on the boat. Okay, cafeteria. Yeah, if you want to believe that, fine, but here we go.
Disgusting. We try not to eat.
And the smell was awful.
And, of course, they make the American people look like trash, like she's trash, obviously.
Awful. The smell was bad. It was just, it got worse as the longer it went. And it wasn't a vacation anymore. It was like survival mode.
And, you see, it wasn't a vacation anymore. Like, so that's telling the American people, like, oh, you know, give up on your vacation. This is not a holiday anymore. Now it's time to live in a shithole. Keep on going.
4,200 hungry and dirty passengers and crew members are still stranded on the ill-fated Carnival Cruise Line ship Triumph that's been floating off the Gulf Coast since Sunday afternoon when a fire broke out in the vessel's engine room. Today, after more than 4 days of having no clean water to drink or to bathe in, the ship is coming ashore. A passenger on board described the scene in a report on CNN.
See, he's stumbling through his script there. I don't know if you noticed that, but we'll play that a little bit back again.
Today, after more than 4 days of having no clean water to drink or to bathe in, the ship is coming ashore. A passenger on...
The ship is coming ashore. He's somehow reading it. Maybe his prompter was slow, or maybe he's reading it slow. But that's a script.
Board described the scene in a report on CNN.
The smells are... I can't describe them. Our room is flooded. There's sewage, raw sewage, pretty bad. When you walk in the hallway, you have to cover your face. We don't have any masks for breathing. It's disgusting. It's the worst thing ever.
That's.
The fire had burned out the ship's main engines. The sparkling city on the sea, known as the Fun Ship you see in these Carnival ads, was now not much more than a 100,000-ton cork bobbing in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, that's how he looks. That's how they're portraying the American people. Like I said, this is not really a real story. There is no real boat trip with these people on it. Every one of these people is a fabricated... actress playing a role, but the role is just to say a few words while the spinsters push the whole story out there. These people have limited lines in the script. Keep it going. It's shameful. So it was a fun ship.
The fire had burned out the ship's main engines. The sparkling city on the sea, known as the Fun Ship you see in these Carnival ads, was now not much more than a 100,000-ton cork bobbing in the Gulf of Mexico.
A cork like from a bottle of champagne that you drank already.
And what happened was I was just up one night just walking around, you know, because it's like Groundhog Day on the ship, the same thing every day.
Okay, so they have an elevator that they said one elevator was working. So that's another metaphor. See, like the elevator is what can bring you up out of the shit. Okay, but only one of those is working. So, again, just keep having, this is all symbolic of these, of how they create this hypnotic suggestion in your putty brain.
I went upstairs and I started hearing like I seen water coming down the walls and coming up through the tile and like coming into the carpet, making it real like darkest looking color. And I was like, well, what is that? You know? And like I could start to smell it, and it smelled like I want to say sewage, you know, because I mean that's how you explain it. Because it was like, I guess it was leaking. The coolants or something were leaking from the top to the bottom down the ship, and it got really bad. And it went into the elevator, and it started dripping so bad it sounded like it was raining in the elevator. And I was sleeping right below that on the fourth floor in the breezeway because you know the rooms were terribly hot and everything.
Yeah, so the people on the upper decks or the high hoity-toity pardon my French, are shitting and pissing on the people down at the bottom. That's the symbolism there. This is a good one.
Again, we're not hearing very much in the last 24 hours from people on board. Conceivably, that is because they've run out of juice on their smartphones.
They've run out of juice on their smartphones, okay? And that's exactly how they're looking at it. You run out of smarts on your juice on your phone. You know, you run out of juice on your smartphone, folks. And again, that's how they portray the American people who are the ship, okay? The ship that's the sewage-laden, smelly, engine-burned-out ship, okay? No juice for their smartphones.
Again, we're not hearing very much in the last 24 hours from people on board. Conceivably, that is because they've run out of juice on their smartphones.
There you go. Keep it going. Running out of juice on your smartphones.
We're in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, man, that's one of a video that somehow somebody got off the boat, because that's a video on the boat. She's in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
People take it upon themselves to strap on life jackets and scramble towards the lifeboats.
Yeah, right. Because, yeah.
I saw the smoke. I knew good and well there was a good chance the ship would be sinking.
Good chance the ship would be sinking when he saw the smoke. Okay, again, that's all symbolism. When he saw smoke, you know, he should have known better. Yeah. Okay. Smoke was in, let's say it was like that started in like 2007, 2008.
This is, you know, really one of those classic experiments where you take a population, you isolate them, you take away just about every modern convenience, and then you work to see whether they, you know, the good human nature rises to the top or fails. And
okay, that's a twisted CNN commentator who said, it's almost like an experiment to see how, And we're guinea pigs or something like that, you know. Like, what's that one again? This guy, even the people on his news crew are looking at him like, whoa, don't make me comment on that, buddy. This is some twisted. What's this like some again? Back to the very twisted. What kind of human experiment is this guy recommending for us?
This is, you know, really one of those classic experiments where you take a population, you isolate them, you take away just about every modern convenience.
You take a population, you isolate them, and you take away just about every modern convenience. Is that disturbing enough for you? Is it? Are you listening? Let's go.
And then you work to see whether they, you know, the good human nature rises to the top or fails.
Thanks, CNN.
As part of that lawsuit, a judge authorized the seizure of another of Carnival's massive ships.
Sir, we're here to execute a court order.
That seized vessel was none other than the Carnival Triumph.
And you impounded it because you believed it wasn't safe?
That's correct.
You seized the ship, held it. They paid $10 million to get it back to sea. Do you think anyone...
Okay, so that was the crisis in 2008, and the people, you see, it's kind of twisted, but what they paid $10 million to get it back. So in other words, that was like the TARP bailout. That's a bailout. Okay, that was the bailout. Okay, yes, that's why they called. Yes, and they called this name of this clip is called "The Ship Was Out on Bail." So yes, they bailed, the people bailed out the ship for $10 million, you get it? And then they, and then she can listen to the end of it.
Who boarded the Triumph knew that this ship was out on bail?
I don't think so.
You see how it was? Okay, the ship was out on bail. We bailed him out. Okay, they're out on bail. And this ship is, now the ship's a little sewage laden and the engine's burnt out.
As part of that lawsuit, a judge authorized the seizure of another of Carnival's massive ships.
Sir, we're here to execute a court order.
That seized vessel was none other than the Carnival Triumph.
And you impounded it because you believed it wasn't safe?
That's correct.
You seized the ship, held it. They paid $10 million to get it back to sea. Do you think anyone who boarded the Triumph knew that this ship was out on bail?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we bailed this ship out already. We bailed the ship out. Did they? And you know what? And he says, I don't think so. But the real answer is yes, people know that we bailed them out already. And then they're going to, this ship's going to get bailed and you're going to need another bailout. That's what this is all about.
Vance, I know you're down. I know you're down there in Alabama. Can you tell us what the latest is in terms of?
Okay, whenever they say, "I know you're down there in Alabama," because it's like that's like she's telling him where he's supposed to be pretending to be. They just they write that stuff into the script so nobody forgets what's going on, you know. Until they do that, let's keep it going.
When they're expecting for this ship to finally come to shore and be docked?
At this point right now, they're saying anywhere from 6 to 8 hours. We're looking at about midnight when the ship may be coming into port. From what we've heard from officials, after the ship...
6 to 8 hours before the ship comes into port, meaning I guess that's relative to like the bond collapse or the currency collapse, you know, that the engine's burnt out, okay? So now we're being dragged into port. So it's still 6 to 8 hours, which could mean months, could mean years, but I think it's going to happen during Obama's presidency. So I want to say it's going to happen, meaning the collapse of the bond bubble and subsequently, I guess, some sort of a restructuring of our dollar, even, because like just the way it's been being printed out of control by Helicopter Ben, I promise you, none of this makes any sense. I mean, you know, they're just cashing people out right and left for all kinds of, well, you know where I stand on that. Let's keep it going.
It's actually here in dock. It still may be up to 4 hours before they actually are able to disembark from the ship. Standing here right now at the cruise terminal, there's a lot of media here. I'm not sure how well you...
Yeah, we can see a lot of it.
Yeah, those HuffPost video. They're like, yeah, we can see a lot of it. He's like, yeah, it's a lot of media here, I promise you. And I'm not, you know, in the room next door to you or anything like you might, you know, I'm definitely down here. Yeah, okay, buddy. Again, they're, what's the Shakespeare? And don't get me wrong, I'm not Mr. Shakespeare. I think the woman protesteth too much. And that's a case of that right there. Let's keep it going.
Mark, are we going to have any access? Are you going to have any access to any of the passengers? How is this being handled?
It's being handled so that we don't have much access. they're going into a building, which we cannot get to. They'll either get on their buses or the buses to Galveston or to New Orleans. We suspect that when those who choose to come out to be with their relatives do so, that's when we will have that access, when they come out here on the streets. But that's going to be hours from now, potentially, before we hear from the actual passengers. And what a story they're going to have to tell us.
Oh, what a story they're going to have to tell us. And he says, but we won't have much access. Like going into a building now, we can't get in the building. Oh, what a story. What a hell of a tall tale they're going to have to tell us, folks. Yeah, let's get ready for that one. Keep it going. Okay, so he just said that they don't have any access,
America,
right?
And on land. The crew is great. I mean, I really can't say enough about this.
Let me start that again.
Probably back in America and on land. The crew is great.
She's great to be back in America and on land, okay? Because she was in the boat, she was on a ship in the, you know, stranded in the water, keep going.
I mean, I really can't say enough about them. But, I mean,
the crew is great, meaning that the crew is like the government or the public sector, or the public sector working people. That's the crew.
Are you angry?
I'm not angry. I'm just so happy to be home, really. I feel great now just being off the ship and just being on land. And I get to see my family. And I think that was the scariest part, just not knowing when we were going to be able to even be in Houston again.
Yeah, that was really scary.
Land has never felt so great. But we are incredibly grateful for...
And, first of all, it's not the same people. They're like, or, you know, it might even be some of the same people doing different appearances on different TV channels. Like, yeah, it's good to be back here, America. Thank you. Thank you very much. And, these people don't seem to have a big problem with feces running down the street, down the walls.
The crew that served us in such unselfish ways, doing things that are unthinkable, and they were just...
Doing things that were unthinkable, the crew. Whatever that's supposed to mean.
So kind-hearted and with smiles the entire time.
Right, the crew gave them smiles the entire time. We're good to be back, thank you very much. And, like, and those are the young, pretty girls, I guess, and everybody else is trash. Keep it going.
Here, we're going to hear a lot of complaining, and we're also going to hear people talking about the crew. We've heard this already, talking kindly about the crew, saying that the crew members themselves worked really hard to help them. They're not happy with the cruise line. They're not happy with the general circumstances, but we've heard some of the passengers saying that they really thought the crew members did a good job.
Yeah, they're not happy with the cruise line or the circumstances, but the public servants did a good job, or they're not serving. The authorities did a good job. Thanks, guys.
In a tough situation, trying to help them, and they're grateful for that. So, to keep it balanced, I want to say that.
Keep it balanced. Fair and balanced.
It doesn't even seem real. Like, wow, I was on that boat, and now I'm off. Like,
it just
hallelujah,
seems like
I'm
it was
off.
A big movie.
But
doesn't seem real. It seems like it was a big movie. So, you want to hear that one again?
It doesn't even seem real. Like, wow, I was on that boat and now I'm off. Like,
it just
hallelujah,
seems like
I'm
it was
off.
A big movie.
But seems like it was a big movie. Okay, so now here's this girl's on Stuart Stephanopoulos, and she totally can't even hear or forgets her line or can't hear what he's supposed to say. So the other one just gives her the cue. She's like, she just gives her two words out of it, and the other one answers the whole question. I'm not sure how she knew what she just said. She couldn't hear the question, and then the other one just says, listen to the cue. Gives her cue, and then she just reels off her answer.
And Carolyn, you all took care of each other, but did you see some individuals behaving badly?
Hello?
I'm sorry, can you repeat yourself?
I was just saying, you all were taking...
Yeah, and frankly, you can hear somebody yelling in her earpiece, because right, you can hear that, because the microphone picks that up, too.
Take care of each other, but did you see any bad behavior on board?
I can't.
Bad behavior on board.
Oh,
That's your cue. Bad behavior on board. Bad behavior. Give him the bad behavior on board line.
I really didn't see too much bad behavior. I think the worst decision Carnival made was when they opened the bar and a few people got a little rowdy. I just didn't think that was right, because there was no need for alcohol on top of everything else. And there was a little bit of yelling and some commotion once they opened the bar. But other than that, people were pretty good to each other.
No, that was just, again, it's one of those weird interviews where she's like, they're trying to plug some sort of agenda, but there's no need for alcohol, okay? Then the next one says the same thing.
Shit, they're lying to us!
But,
Chip was not really serving a lot of booze. At one point, they did, though, right? So, characterize for me why some people were upset that the booze started to flow, and other people thought that there should have been more.
Well, I don't think that there should have been more.
No.
Again, we know how to handle ourselves, but there's always that group of people that don't, much like with the food situation, and take too much, they drink too much, and we're acting the fool, and... But, yeah, you know, we each had one and moved on.
We taken on.
I'm not sure what the hell that was supposed to mean, acting the fool part also, but, again, they're trying to, you know, some people are going to overdo it, overdate it. In other words, they were drunk with spending and credit, and spending like a drunken sailor, and those are the people who ruined it for everybody else. There you go. There you go. That's how it works.
That's, you know, what type of personnel do you see, first responders, et cetera, on the scene there, you know, in order to take these passengers off the ship?
Here right now, there's a lot of police officers. Again, where they're staging a lot of media here. There's a Salvation Army truck behind me.
Staging a lot of media here. You go in a Salvation Army truck behind them, whatever that's supposed to be. But we're staging a lot of media. Here we go. We are staging a lot of media here.
There's a lot of police officers. Again, where they're staging a lot of media here. There's a Salvation Army truck behind me set up. They're giving out coffee to family members.
They're staging a lot of media here, that's for sure.
It is the largest cruise ship ever to attempt to dock at the port of Mobile, Alabama.
Right, that means America's. That's America. We're the big one. That's what. But you know what, though? Don't worry about it.
Then the air conditioning goes out. Still, the crew assures the passengers that everything is under control.
Nothing to worry about, folks. You can wait up on the Lido deck. It's really lovely out there.
Nothing to worry about, folks. Wait up on the Lido deck.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like Titanic.
Like the Titanic, oh no. And,
a fire had erupted in the engine room, and some passengers go into Titanic mode.
Titanic mode. Okay, so now I'm going to play you a quick clip from my show last year on the Costa Concordia, because I did a Titanic clip in there, and listen to the similarity in what was going on in that show compared to this one. And the reason I'm saying I believe that's the case is that you know, they kind of work with the same scripts on these things. Here we go.
In the catalog of things that are not supposed to happen, at or near the top of the list is this. How does a state-of-the-art cruise ship, longer than three football fields, and loaded with enough technology to basically sail itself, end up a glamorless, helpless hulk? On Choppy Seas this morning, we got a close look at the Costa Concordia.
Yeah, that's all a, how does a long, a big, you know, group of countries, let me keep going. This is the ship is a metaphor for the European Union, or the Eurozone, if you will.
I saw my whole life as if I'd already lived it. An endless parade of parties and cotillions, yachts and polo matches. Always the same narrow people, the same mindless chatter. I felt like I was standing at a great precipice with no one to pull me back, no one who cared or even noticed.
No one who cared or even noticed on the great precipice. And that was from the Titanic. And that was, again, about a ship, and she's on a precipice, and she's nobody cared, nobody pulled her back. The whole ship, every time I see a ship in anything, it's always some sort of a metaphoric, and the ship is always symbolizes something. In this case, in this story, it's symbolizing the American people. And the last story in Costa Concordia was the European Union. Check that show out if you want to, maxrat.com, and let's keep it going.
The isolation factor you described, this is the same sort of thing many people who went through Katrina in New Orleans, others that were left behind, they never heard anything either. And it's, your mind begins to race, you wonder if anybody knows of the circumstance you're in, you think you're all alone, and of course any rumor becomes solid fact, and it spreads in a very closed environment. So I imagine it's something very similar.
Yeah. That's twisted too. Again, some CNN twisted. Yeah, so your mind starts to race, wow. That's a crazy one. let me try that one. Let me listen to that one again.
The isolation factor you described, this is the same sort of thing many people who went through Katrina in New Orleans, others that were left behind, they never heard anything either. And it's, your mind begins to race. You wonder if anybody knows of the circumstance you're in. You think you're all alone. And, of course, any rumor becomes solid fact, and it spreads in a very closed environment. So I imagine it's something very similar.
Yeah. Rumors become solid fact, and spreads in a closed environment, and people didn't see it coming, and here we go.
Shit, they're lying to us!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just last week, Carnival admitted that there was an electrical problem on the Triumph's previous voyage, but said there is no evidence at this time of any relationship between this previous issue and the fire that occurred on February 10th.
Yeah, so again, they're trying to imply that that the Carnival, who frankly is like the New World Order, they're the puppet masters of this whole thing. They're like, you know, yeah, just last week they had a problem, but everybody accused them of something, and then they're like, nope, that wasn't our problem. That was, you know, that wasn't our problem. There was no relationship to the earlier fires. That was the fire last week. It was nothing to do with this fire. Yeah, there we go.
We have delivered additional provisions to the Carnival Triumph that happened last night, and the ship is in excellent shape now and will be fully provisioned to provide all the food services for the guests, certainly by the time the ship docks later this evening.
We'll have all the food services for the guests by the time it docks and they get off? Come on now. Come on now.
We did also deliver...
Again, and that's just because that's the only way anybody can ever get away with saying something that's stupid, okay? Is if it's fake, okay? And this whole story is fake. It's just a way to, again, hypnotically suggest things to the American people, so you'll know how you'll react the way they want you to. It's brilliant, actually, but this is not a real story, okay? These people are all fake.
Deliver one additional small generator to the ship, and this generator was helpful mostly last night in providing some extra power and allowing us to provide additional hot food service. As they come off the ship today, they have two options, really, that they've already...
Yeah, so, if we play that...
We have delivered additional provisions to the Carnival Triumph that happened last night, and the ship is in excellent shape now and will be fully provisioned to provide all the food services for the guests, certainly by the time the ship docks later this evening.
Okay, so it's in great shape now, and we'll have plenty of food for when we get in the dock. Thanks, guys. You really believe that?
Okay. You have described the cruise ship industry as the Wild West. Why?
Because they have operated without regulation, without oversight, in a legal system that allows them to avoid responsibility. Carnival and the other cruise companies set up these contracts, passenger tickets. Most passengers never read them. But they set these tickets and they try to escape every possible responsibility and make the passenger give up every possible right that they have.
I have now spoken to
Carnival tries to shirk every responsibility and make the passenger give up every right they have. Get it? Do you know? And so Carnival is like the tyrants, and they're trying to make us give up every right we have, and that's exactly what's going on. Again, this is this metaphor, symbolism, man. It's a hypnotic suggestion.
Doctor?
And you're sitting there watching TV believing that crap because you're hypnotized. You're hypnotized by it. Wake up.
Lawyer, nurse, teacher, educated people. I've asked every single one, did you read the document? Nobody did.
Yeah, you guys shouldn't
know
that.
It's no surprise.
No surprise. Okay, yes. No surprise that they didn't read the document. You should have known better.
There's no one looking out for the safety of passengers on ships relative to fires.
A spokesman for the cruise industry denies there's no regulation.
He's like, what are you talking about? That's just very metaphoric. Again, the spokesman for the cruise industry, or, you know, because they're like, somebody says, they're unregulated again. That's all nonsense. It's a distraction again. But he's like, oh, they're unregulated, too unregulated. Yeah, we're not. That's, again, that's to confuse people in this hypnotic suggestion psyop that they're doing, okay? Keep going.
We're in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. That's just to get on people's nerves. It's a little bit of a racist thing.
Earlier today, a towing cable broke, delaying the ship's return. Emergency generators on board the ship restored only partial functions. You can imagine what that's been like. Half of the sewage system on the Triumph is inoperative, causing overflowing waste. Passengers say large portions of the ship smell of raw sewage and spoiled food.
large portions of the ships just smell, and we're just a bunch of raw sewage. That's most of the large portions of the ship.
And the shortness of food has been an issue.
Which is us.
Issue as well. Those on board waited in lines for hours to get the scarce amount of food that was available on the ship. Carnival says it's decided against sending another ship to pick up passengers at sea because towing the ship to port was just a much safer operation for them and all involved.
Yeah, especially towing it to a port 500 miles from where from where they left, I think Galveston or something like that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Hold on a second. So they went to a port 500 miles away.
Shit, they're lying to us!
Exactly. And, here we go.
If you are a positive person, you're fine. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the cruise floor because we were staying on the first deck, and my mom and sister's room flooded. They had about 6 to 8 inches of water in their room after, I don't know if that was day two of this, but we don't know what the water was from. We think it probably was a little bit of the sewage system backup, but it wasn't like, you know, dark water. It was just smelly. Now their room has been pumped out. There's no water left in it. It just smells like mildew and mold in there. So I don't know if there's raw sewage on deck zero, though. That's possible because we did hear from the crew that everything's backing up down there.
Right, so there she's on the upper deck, so she's like, yeah, we might have had a little bit of a whiff of the sewage, but it wasn't too bad, and when they already pumped our room out already, whatever that's supposed to mean. She's in the upper floor, so she's got a different view of what's going on in the boat from hell. Because, you know, it was only people at the bottom of the boat that really...
You need to prove intentional negligence, especially for a recovery of emotional distress. In this case, yes or no, and how will you do that?
You're mixing concepts. There are two different theories. One is intentional infliction of emotional distress. The other is negligent infliction of emotional distress. To prove the intentionality, it would be the point of that.
I think it's intentionality, and it's really just to prove the intent, okay? I don't even believe this guy's a lawyer either.
Carnival knew what was going on. They were about 150 miles off the coast of Mexico, and instead of just turning around and go to Mexico, they intentionally decided to drag them across the Gulf of Mexico about 500 miles because it was more beneficial for them.
I don't know if it was more beneficial for them. It was just more beneficial for the stupid story because they needed to put it in a port where very few people probably have access to a sea ever, and so in the middle of the night, and... that's all part of the story. All part of the stupid story. Okay? That's what that's about.
Why didn't they take them to Galveston, Texas, which is where the crew started?
Yeah, because it didn't fit the stupid story part of it. It was 500 miles closer, supposedly.
By Monday, 24 hours after the crisis began, Carnival decided to tow the ship not to nearby Mexico, but to Mobile, Alabama, because not everybody had passports with them.
Or not to Galveston, Texas, where it supposedly took left from, but departed from. But that's why wouldn't you do that? I mean, it's because you know what? Because it's a stupid story. They have their reasons.
The United States Coast Guard and the National Transportation Safety Bureau will launch an investigation into the cause of the engine fire and system failure.
Yeah, we'll do an investigation. You know, the same idiots who got us here, let them do an investigation.
There's a small dedicated crew of mariners whose task it was to bring the big ship into Mobile's cruise ship terminal. But the terminal's actually been abandoned for 2 years for financial reasons. Can you give us the backstory here? You know, are Carnival and the owners taking flak for this?
From what we've heard, Carnival and the port are working together to make sure that... that the ship will be able to dock, and Carnival has actually been the home base of Carnival some years.
This is HuffPost. HuffPost's got some garbage people who can't even read their stupid scripts, right? But this girl's massacring her scripts.
That's the latest on that.
I don't know what the fuck I just said, but that's the latest on that. You can watch it, play that again, because don't worry, she doesn't know what she's talking. She doesn't have any clue on what's going on. She doesn't even really know the context of what she's talking about. Keep it going.
Oh, this is useless. We've been talking for almost a minute and come up with zero good ideas. At this rate, we'll have zero good ideas every hour.
Hey, that's actually good math. How'd you get so good at math?
Oh, I've been tinkering with this fun app on my phone called Calculator.
Yeah.
We were dead in the water. I mean, no way to other cells to put it, so.
We're dead in the water.
There's a gantry way behind me that all the people will come down eventually. And as you said, they're talking about it taking 4 to 5 hours to get everyone off the ship. One of the problems is there's only one elevator on that ship. 3,000 people, multiple stories. Sometimes they're going to have to be dealing with the dark. You're not seeing any lights up there, so they're going to have to move around in the dark to get out. It's going to take a long time.
Yep, so there's one elevator in the ship, and it's dark up there, and it's going to take a long time for you to get in that elevator, to get you get out of the feces and the urine. That's some more symbolism right there. It's on every channel. I mean, again, I'm taking from Fox, from NBC, from CNN, from BBC. I went to Al Jazeera even. This is a rollout story once again. That's how they do it. And it's all a metaphor. These ship things are always a metaphor for the American people and the American economy and how, you know, you're going to end up. And they're going to say, well, the crew was great, but it was just a smelly, greedy American, you know, the people to lower deck that were the problem. And then the other one says the other way around.
And it's got to be frustrating for the people right now who are on board waiting so many hours to get off, which the vital point that you made is that it's limited power. There's only one elevator working.
Limited power and only one elevator working, you know, very few people are going to get up out of that shit.
They came in, dropped off water and stuff, but that didn't stop babies from going hungry. That didn't stop other people from hoarding food.
Wow.
No, that didn't. Did not stop them from going hungry. Children from going hungry. That's nice. Okay, now here's another rambling.
Have any of the family members, Vance, said anything to you about, you know, communication that they've had with their family members aboard the cruise line?
Yes, I talked to two mothers from Texas about 5 minutes ago, and they both described the same thing. They heard about it early Sunday morning, and then they had a little contact with their daughters early Monday morning, and then the first contact they've had since then was this morning. And they both drove from Texas to be here to get their daughters off the bus and take them home. They're not going to put them on the bus. They're not going to. They've had enough with Carnival. They didn't have anything nice to say about Carnival. They basically want to get their daughters off this boat and in their arms. They both described just the feeling of loneliness and feeling alone and how it was to try to hear your child call for you and not be able to do anything about it. So they're really passionate, and that's I'm pretty sure that's the sentiment of a lot of people around here.
That's the HuffPost again. Wow. Yeah, he's pretty sure that the sentiment of people around here is she's very passionate. And
what did you think when you heard them say that you could use the sink, the shower, or a plastic bag? I mean, what was your sort of first thought?
My first thought was that all my dignity had just gone out the window.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, folks, is that all your dignity's gone. You know, you've been robbed, and now you're gonna live in shit,
What did you think when you heard them say that you could use the sink, the shower, or a plastic bag? I mean, what was your sort of first thought?
My first thought was that all my dignity had just gone out the window.
Yeah, that's the metaphor, all right. Here we go.
Again, we're not hearing very much in the last 24 hours.
from people on board. Conceivably, that is because they've run out of juice on their smartphones.
Yeah, ran out of juice on their smartphones. So that's what's happened to the American people, the people on the ship.
And during the voyage, passengers did receive updates on the PA system as well as printed status updates. But Rob Mallon thinks that was another poor decision.
Somehow they managed to print us out little letters that they sent to our room.
Maybe they were using the emergency generator to supply printers instead of toilets.
Yeah, it's better to use the emergency generators for propaganda than for supplying toilets. That's the message in that twisted little anecdote. And here we go.
Now, before we move on, we want to designate a few more areas on the boat as toilets, okay? All right, what do we got here? The Superstar Karaoke Bar is now officially a toilet, okay?
Yeah. The Blue Iguana Cantina is now a toilet.
Okay, just in time. Okay, good. And the Banzai Sushi Restaurant is still a sushi restaurant, so you want to get in there, you know, soon before it becomes a toilet, yeah?
Right, so Japan is still a sushi restaurant, but I better get over there before get out of the yen before it's a toilet. That's the hint in that that Saturday Night Live from this weekend, if you will. They're designating more and more areas toilets.
And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network?
Who knows?
But one thing that did go right in the end for Carnival was bringing that colossus of a ship up this narrow channel in darkness.
Yeah, there's more, hypnotic suggestion. Let's keep
we
going.
Felt, you know, really when the first day of the, you know, the day of the fire, and it was, you know, we had later in the day, there was like, okay, there's going to be a sister ship coming, going to drop provisions. And we were like, oh, what, they're going to have Wi-Fi on there, so maybe we can get out, because our communications pretty much were cut off that, you know, right. We could get on the boat. So, you know, the ship came closer, and we're like, hey, we're getting signals. You getting out. So people were giving each other cell phones. Hey, I can't get out, but I have whatever carrier. And able to get through to loved ones, and so that was awesome. And then obviously the next day we were able to get two more provisions dropped from other ships. And
so this guy's getting all kinds of provisions dropped from ships and Wi-Fi. Again, all symbolism going on there. Figure it out for yourself. But that's twisted stuff, and it's all this whole story is about that.
You had to stand in line for 2.5 to 3 hours to get food.
Mm-hmm.
They served it at one end of the boat. And I was standing in line, and there was a guy there that was a mechanic on the boat. And I asked him, I said, when y'all saw the fire, why didn't y'all immediately call for help? And he told us what, Jamie? That they thought they could fix it.
Yeah, they thought they could fix it.
So, I mean, we went for hours, 10 hours.
Twisted innuendo and symbolism again, so... So we thought we could fix it, sorry, but we, you know, he's like, but no, but we couldn't fix it. We were waiting online for food. She asked the engine mechanic if why couldn't he fix it? I thought he said, well, we think we can fix it. The engine mechanic is Ben Bernanke.
Before we even knew.
Yeah, we know how to, we'll pull the inflation out of the economy. Then that's the connection there.
They kept saying the engine is, we have to cool the engine before we can see the situation. So we had no clue what was going on.
And then you heard that this ship has had problems before.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, we heard the ship, we had no clue what was going on, but we heard the ship had problems before. There we go. You heard the ship had problems before. I was like, absolutely.
Folks hoarding food, forcing others onto a diet of onion sandwiches.
Situation.
So you had to stand in line for 3 hours to, you know, to get a meal. And the first couple days it was the onion sandwiches.
Got to stand in line for 3 hours to get onion sandwiches. Onion sandwiches of all things. Are you kidding me? And you know, it's, again, I mean, I'll go into this food part real fast, but I mean, you know, food's in the refrigerator, even if the power goes down, it still doesn't go bad immediately, okay? So let's say some of you have to cook, but like Please, where did all the cold cuts go? Where did all the smoked salmon go? Where all did all the cream cheese go? The butter go? The that's all gone. Where'd it go? But these boats don't have giant amounts of food on board. I mean, come on, they don't run out of food on a cruise ship. And they make it sound like the food was instantly gone and instantly they're eating onion sandwiches on the first day. Why? Okay, that doesn't make any sense. You want to argue with me? Fine, but that doesn't make any sense. Keep going.
Have you had enough food?
When we first set off on Sunday, we were having tomato sandwiches and lettuce sandwiches and cucumber sandwiches.
What do you mean the first day? He said the first day again. That was the second person said the first day we're on tomato and cucumber sandwiches. Whatever. And Americans don't like to eat vegetables, so that's another good reason for them. They're just poking fun at every fat bastard in this, living in squalor.
The delivery from, I think we got a delivery from Elation and Conquest, Carnival ships. The food got a little better. It's been kind of hit and miss, kind of spotty. We have some, then we run out.
Elation and Conquest, that's a twisted, the other two boats. How he would know the names of the other two boats, and like, do they just do pit stops? What, they bring supplies on another cruise ship. Right? They play people for such fools here, right? You wouldn't take a smaller boat to bring supplies. Let's spin that on. What do we get? Another cruise ship around the area? Just spin, they're not doing anything? What do? They just float around in the water until they have to go pick up people for the cruise? Whatever.
But it wasn't unusual to wait 3 hours in line for food.
For a tomato sandwich.
So the food was cold food, and then after a while they got that way with enough power to have one grill up where you could get hot food. But of course that line was long, and it wasn't uncommon to wait three and a half hours in that line if you wanted hot food.
Yeah, okay, if you want to believe that.
What's it been like?
Miserable and just probably the worst time in our life. But that put a lot of faith in God.
Have you had enough food, enough water, enough medicine if you need medicine?
Yes, sir. The first day we had tomato sandwiches, and I hate tomatoes. But they have tried. The Carnival crew has tried their very best to take care of us.
Yep, first day. Again, tomato sandwiches, first day. And everybody's telling you 3-4
hours.
Some
doors were broken. I mean, it wasn't safe as far as their protocol. Everybody fend for themselves as far as food. Let floor one go between 10:30 and 11.
Okay, floor one, 10:30 and 11.
Let floor two go 11:30.
11:30.
It was just mass chaos.
So that's half an hour. Okay, and they're telling you, because she screwed up her lines too, but they don't care. But okay, so why would you let the next floor go if the other floor hadn't? It was still waiting for 3 hours. Yeah, so there's a little bit of a flaw in there.
Everybody just running and hoarding the food. The people at the back, we had soaked submarine sandwiches. It was bread and tomato.
They became known on board.
Soaked sun rain sandwiches?
As the library ladies.
I won't be going on another cruise.
Done, yeah.
Yeah, they call them the library ladies. That's the same psychopath doctor lady who forces vaccines.
Signs of desperation for more than 4,000 passengers and crew trapped on board a luxury liner that right now is anything but luxurious.
Pipes are busting. I know the...
It's a luxury liner that right now is anything but luxurious.
Sewer is backing up and water is in the cabins, and it's just a nightmare.
The problems began just after the Carnival cruise ship called Triumph left Texas. A fire in the engine room knocked out power and left it drifting in the Gulf of Mexico. Temperatures soared, food began to run short, and toilets started overflowing. The company says it's taking care of its passengers.
We have delivered additional provisions to the Carnival Triumph. That happened last night, and the ship is in excellent shape now and will be fully provisioned to provide all the food services for the guests, certainly by the time the ship docks later this evening.
There he is again. He said, yeah, we'll have plenty of food once the ship docks. Okay?
Yes, the food lines were long. There was a couple days that we had hot dogs and hamburgers delivered from another cruise ship, and that long was about 3 to 4 hours long for one of those. And
right, so the other cruise ships make deliveries, and then there's a 3 to 4 hour line for hot dogs and hamburgers. Okay, whatever, folks.
And for the newlyweds, a delayed wedding banquet of burgers and fries.
This is going to be the best hamburger ever.
Never was there a couple so happy to trade a cruise for a bus.
When we got on the bus, we went back.
Right, so they were like so happy that they just got married on the cruise. Now they're gonna get burgers and fries instead of, you know, for dinner, and then they're so happy to trade the cruise for a bus. Okay, and they were never so happy to do that. That's the way they portray you, and that's the way this whole like crafted story is working, and it's kind of insulting. But if you guys just want to like, oh no, this is not really happening, that's fine.
All right, Mr. Griffin, jobs you think you would be suited for. Let's see what you wrote. Cowboy, astronaut, warlock, more powerful astronaut, beer expert.
Yeah, I like that one. I don't know why. There we go. That's what they think of you guys.
Tell us about the 5 days. You know, you were sleeping up on the deck. You actually created a nest up on the top of the deck.
We made our own nest because we were just too terrified to go inside because of the smells and the germs. So we just band together and made our own little nest and just survived.
Yep, that's what women do. They're nesters. Then they had this little thing in this story about men who sent their wives. And, you know, there was men who stayed home and the wives went. I'm not sure what the significance of that is, except maybe that's just anything to make the families look more divided than they can, or as much as divided as possible. But so there's all these people there's all these women on the boat, and the men are all home waiting for them.
You guys, you know, this was a 40th birthday, a big surprise, and all four of you got together, two of your husbands doing this for you.
Yeah, I think it's trying to get husbands and wives mad at each other when the dollar blows up and everybody's broke. It's to try to point fingers of blame at people. I think that's the significance of putting that in the story as well. Again, hypnotic suggestion, that's how it works.
That's when Mike Padilla finally got through to his wife on the phone, anxiously waiting her return.
They think the tug line might have just broken.
Yeah, so Mike Padilla's waiting for his wife to get home, and then this guy.
Toby Barlow sprinting to his wife, planting this kiss.
Toby Barlow waiting for his, just got his wife was on the trip by himself. So these guys are sending their wives on cruises without them, but all right. Maybe.
Rebecca and Allie are cruise veterans with 8 trips between them. The Triumph was their only bad experience.
Tell me something. Will you ever go back on another cruise again like that?
I will probably later in the future, but not right now.
Okay, so these are little kids. Okay, and they're like, yeah, they're cruise veterans already. They've been doing this for 8 years. Or something, or they did it 8 times, something like that. And she's like, and they're interviewing a little kid. She's like, you're going to go back on a cruise anytime soon? Like she's buying the tickets or something like that. She's like 8 years old. Okay. Again, it's just a metaphor saying, yeah, I'll probably be on another cruise someday. Meaning like I'll be partying again one day, but not anytime soon. Because I'm a little kid. And she said probably. She doesn't know.
In another corner of the massive ship, there was a group of women who call themselves the Mama Bears. Caroline Martindale, Paulina Padilla, and Jamie Lamb were there for Ashley Riggs' bachelorette party.
So as the bride-to-be, was this your idea for this extravaganza?
After discussing with all my friends, you know, we decided that it would be really easy for all of us to come together, and what an easy way to have a bachelorette party.
And for the first day and a half, it was good.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Really fun.
This family reunion.
It was really fun for the first day and a half. And we were like, yeah, it was easy and it was easy and it was easy because we're like, we're party girls and everything was easy for us. And And for the first day and a half, it was good. And then it was easy. Easy, easy, easy.
This family reunion in a parking lot in Galveston, Texas, was not the kind of reunion the Alderette and Cologne family had planned.
Okay, so the two Mexican families are having were met on the boat. 30 people, they said, and then because the boat stopped working, so now they're having their family reunion in a parking lot. Like that, and people believe that. Yeah, you know, that's how Mexicans do it, man. You know, fuck it, they'll just have a party anywhere. And then listen to what this lady says. She says, and then I brought all my relatives on board. Meaning, like, that's just a subliminal way of needling people about, yeah, there's Mexicans, too many Mexicans on board this ship. There we go.
When they booked a cruise on the Carnival Triumph. Their trip was supposed to be a birthday party and family reunion at sea, planned for more than a year and including 31 relatives. Their joy in being together captured in this portrait taken aboard the ship. This trip of a lifetime was ruined when at 5:30 last Sunday, the ship's PA system sounded alarms, says Mercedes Perez de Colon.
For me, that was the most scariest part because I thought, oh my gosh, you know, they're here for my birthday and something's going to happen. And I brought them all on board.
Yeah, brought them all on board. Something was going to happen. And let's go to the next one. We're coming down the back stretch in the Max Rat Deconstruction Zone. I'm talking about this boat ship trip. This cruise line, so-called disaster. It's all I hate to go on and use the same expression over and over, but it's a subliminal suggestion, a hypnotic suggestion of how to react or what to think when they pull the plug on the economy, which is really going to be some sort of a bond bubble burst or a dollar collapse. I think that's in store. And this boat incident is a metaphor for all that. And so now they're going to tell you to get a fight with your wife. There's too many Mexicans on board. Let's get
and now plaintiffs' lawyers like Jackson, Mississippi's John Eaves are beginning to weigh in.
This ship is not the first ship to go adrift. There have been 3 fires aboard ships from this company since 2010.
There's been 3 fires already from this company since 2010. In other words, this boat had several fires that we've had to put out already and bail out already.
Now, the most important thing for me at this point in time is to go on board and to apologize to our guests.
Sorry, guys. Sorry it worked out this way for you.
Now, the most important thing for me at this point in time is to go on board and to apologize to our guests. Once I finish that, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to try and help to expedite the process of getting them off and getting them on their way as quickly as I can.
Thanks, pal. Thanks a lot.
Aline, what do you think about the way that Carnival has been handling this entire situation? You know, from a PR perspective, what have we actually heard from the company?
Well, there have been so many reports by passengers who talked to the media about the horrible conditions aboard the ship, and Carnival has actually denied those conditions in many statements. They've been saying that they try as best as possible to accommodate the passengers, so there seems to be kind of a disconnect there. I think a lot will depend on how they handle the follow-up. Passengers have been promised a financial reward, so we'll see how much they get and if that is sufficient to compensate for the horrible days they've been going through.
Yeah, we'll see how much they get.
And Tammy, and maybe you can speak for everyone here, we've heard Carnival apologize, they're going to give everybody a refund, $500. Is that enough for you, or do you want more?
I want to really guard my heart from feeling greedy or exploiting the situation, but I feel like $500 gives you about $100 a day, and for our jobs, that doesn't even cover that. And then you talk about the emotional trauma and the just last night, feeling what we went through last night while we're on land with our families and our insides just trembling, I don't think it begins to even say what is needed here.
Passengers a full refund, a voucher for another cruise, and $500, and it will cover travel expenses.
Oh my God,
it's degrading.
Demoralizing. And then they want to insult us by giving us $500.
Yeah, so that's basically your pension's stolen, and when they collapse the dollar, people be wiped out, and they're gonna be like, oh, here, take some coupons for food or something. And they're gonna be, and people are like, oh, that's insulting, but that's just again warm up for what's to come.
I can't tell you what I did or didn't advise to my client, but I would advise everyone that was on that ship to not take the $500. And I would point out that the people that were on the Costa Concordia just over a year ago, even if you were uninjured, just being on that cruise ship, they offered you $14,000. So how do you go from $14,000 for 3, 4, 5 hours of sheer terror versus 5 days of a living nightmare?
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
There's even a patient's bill of rights for airlines if they keep you on the tarmac for too many hours.
Patient's bill of rights, whatever that means. For air travelers, but I don't know. That's just not whatever that's supposed to mean. And so now they're going to tell you that the people at Costa Concordia get $14,000. You're only getting, in other words, they got $14,000 each in Europe. You guys are only going to get $500 each. That's how fucked you guys are. Keep going.
They have to pay fines, and you might be able to recover.
Yeah. So you know what you might want to do? You might just want to go with the flow.
Well, I think the lack of information initially, they just kept saying it's a little fire, we don't know. So after a point, you just relax because you don't know anything. And what can you do? You're essentially trapped and you can't change your mind and get off. So you just had to go with the flow.
Yeah, there's nothing else you're going to do. You might as well just go with the flow, you know, be broke like everybody else. There we go.
Carnival now says the impact of this and other disruptions will shave 8 to 10 cents off of earnings for the first half of this year. Investors taking notice. Carnival Corp down $1.30 at $37.72.
Yeah, when they say 8 to 10 cents off of her shave, 8 to 10 cents off of earnings, I hope it's probably, I mean, shave 10 cents off of earnings. So at best, you're going to get a 10% haircut, but I'd say it's going to be way worse than that. It might even be, they might even be trying to be 8 to 10, meaning like 80%. That sounds more like it, of, you know, losses across the board. Let's see what we have here.
But one thing that did go right in the end for Carnival was bringing that colossus of a ship up this narrow channel in darkness.
Yeah, that's, again, yeah, something went right. I don't know what that's supposed to mean either. All right, so we're wrapping up the end of the show. Here's one last clip from Howard Beale. Yeah, so the moral of the story is that they create a fake ship. It's driving from Galveston, Texas to Cozumel, Mexico. It's in the Gulf of Mexico. The elevator is only one elevator to bring you up out of the sewage and riddled or infested doldrums of the bottom of the ship. The people at the top of the ship have already had their rooms pumped out and had a mild mildew smell, but you have feces raining down in the elevator on the way up. Okay, if in fact, and the feces, so in other words, the people up above you are pissing and shitting on you, if you will, for lack thereof. You were given tomato, cucumber, and onion sandwiches. They dropped them off from another cruise boat who does deliveries. Okay. The kids are like, they won't be on another cruise for very long soon, even though they're cruise veterans at 8 years old. That's the moral of this whole story. That's the Max Run Deconstruction Zone. Thanks for tuning in again. And all the best. Thanks for coming aboard. I'll play this one last clip. Another one from Howard Beale. It's kind of a a good one. And yeah, so it's my episode 2, the Max Rat Deconstruction Zone.
What is finished is the idea that this great country is dedicated to the freedom and flourishing of every individual in it. It's the individual that's finished. It's the single, solitary human being that's finished. It's every single one of you out there that's finished. Because this is no longer a nation of independent individuals.